what? We've got laptops. We've got tablets. We've got phones. And, yes, we have virtual reality headgear. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter Before You Buy.
Welcome to Before You Buy, the TWiT show where we get the TWiT family together to look at some new products, give you their opinion thereof, and this is the most jam-packed episode ever. Sarah Lane's got like 53 iPad cases you're going to review in 2 minutes. It's going to be amazing. But I want to kick things off with our own producer, Shannon Moore Snubs. You know her from the tech feed where she does ThreatWire. She's just wonderful. And we thought we'd give her this. This is the newest Kindle. She's become our ebook reviewer by default. Let's find out what Shannon thinks of the new Kindle Fire.
Hey guys, this is Shannon Morris, the producer of Before You Buy, and today I have the Amazon Kindle Fire HD 8.9-inch. Now, a couple of months ago, Leo Laporte reviewed the Amazon Kindle Fire HD version, and he gave it a don't buy. So I figured I'm going to check out the larger version and see if it's any better. So first off, let's check out a little bit of the hardware. The LCD screen is probably the coolest part of this. Where's that home button? There it is. Okay. I keep on losing the home button. It's flush with this, just like the other version, and I have to agree with Leo on that. It's very hard to find it, because I keep on trying to tilt it and find it over on the bottom. Where is the thing? Oh, there it is. Okay. On the inside, you're going to get your dual-core 1.5 gigahertz processor. I did notice a little bit of lag, but not too much, not to the point where it was extremely annoying to me. Weighs about 20 ounces. So you'll notice with the screen, it's really, really nice. You can't really see any of the pixels on it, and that's because it's an LCD 1920 by 1200 IPS HD screen, and it can also play your videos at 1080 HD, which is really, really nice. So the big thing about this as well, it also has a camera on the front. See, I keep on tilting it the wrong way. It's terrible. There's a camera right here, which is mainly just used for Skype HD calls. If you take pictures, you'll notice that they're somewhat grainy. They don't come out very well, especially not in very well-lit rooms. So this is definitely more of a product for watching videos, playing games, maybe giving it to your kids and letting the parental controls come into effect for that, letting your kids play apps or what have you, and for reading books. This is a kind of an overlay of Android, so you're not going to be able to get into the Google Play Store, of course, but you can get into plenty of apps in the Android marketplace. So if you're more of you've got a hacker mindset or you are a really, really tech-savvy person, this might not be the tablet for you. Also, if you're a big e-reader person like me, I really, really like my e-ink readers. I don't like it when they're backlit necessarily or when they have an LCD screen. Instead, I prefer e-ink. So, my pros and my cons. First off, if you're an Amazon person, which I am, then it's really awesome because it's a really easy way to get into your Amazon Prime account, download whatever you need, and you're good to go. Also, the build quality for the price of this is awesome. It has an excellent screen, really, really fast processor, and it has this nice dual Wi-Fi, so you can get into the internet and you can download whatever you need pretty quickly. And at $269, you can't really beat that. So the cons. First off, you have ads. If you choose the cheaper version, you're going to have ads no matter what. No wall charger is kind of weird. I would expect for Amazon to include one with this, but unfortunately they don't. They just include that USB one. And there is no back camera. There's just that front one, and the front one isn't all that great unless you're just making Skype calls. So all in all, if you're an Amazon person, definitely give this a try. Otherwise, I'd say maybe get a Nexus. I'm Shannon Morse, and this is Before You Buy.
Yeah, if you want real Android, you definitely want to get a Nexus. I just found my new wallpaper. I'm so excited about this picture of Shannon. That's going to be great. on all my devices. Thank you, Shannon Morse Snubs. So back in August, a company named Oculus raised $2.4 million for something they called the Oculus Rift. It was a VR helmet. I bid for it. Tony bid for it. Tony got his first. And you've been showing everybody. In fact, right. We have a video up on YouTube of everybody trying the Oculus Rift. You're wearing it. I presume that's what that is on your head.
Yes, this is the Oculus Rift. So really, really quick rundown on the specs. It's a 7-inch LCD display on the inside.
And that's pretty big.
Yeah, it's pretty
big.
But
it has two eyepieces. So we're looking at the same display through the two eyepieces?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's only 1280 by 800. So divide that by half. So
right. 640 and 400.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And currently, this is a developer kit. So
that's important to note. The early bidders are not getting a finished product. That's coming down the road. There's no games. This is just so that you can write, I guess, software for it or write drivers for other games.
Yeah, so right now there's a bunch of developers out there working their butt off, getting their games ready for this. It's supposed to ship with a bunch of games, but right now it's only working on, I believe, TF2, and somebody mentioned Skyrim as well.
I saw Skyrim, but I think at least in the Skyrim case, it's kind of a hack. It's not somebody had to make it work with it. Now, we've seen these. We've seen people raving about them. I mean, we had Joshua Topolsky from The Verge on, and he was raving about it. He even showed it to Jimmy Fallon, and Fallon loved it, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't wait.
I couldn't either. I
mean, tell me about it. What's the experience like? We can't. This is hard to show people what it's like because you got to wear it.
Right, exactly. You really can't describe the experience other than that it's probably the most immersive gaming I've ever done.
So this is the view, and they do give you this, the output from the computer. So this is what you will be seeing when you put it on.
Exactly.
And you see it is dividing that screen in half so that it is 3D.
Right.
Right.
And I can control my point of view using my head.
Yeah, then that's so the, all the movement is because Tony's moving his head right now.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Can you, one thing I noticed, are you going to take off your glasses when you put it on?
Yeah, I have to because mine doesn't fit in the goggle.
Yeah. So I left mine on because
you were able to get it to fit, but I couldn't.
Well, it's not made for glasses. They give you some lenses that would help you get it a little bit closer.
Exactly.
But if you need corrective glasses, you're going to either have to wear contacts or they're going to have to redesign
it. Right, so they're going to be coming out with the consumer product later this year, and it's definitely going to have higher resolution.
That it needs.
And it will probably fit glasses, because most of us computer users...
We wear glasses.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's no good. Google Glass is the same problem. It goes over your glasses, and it looks stupid.
Yeah.
So that was one thing I noticed. Yeah. I was very impressed with the fact that when you move your head, it moves. They've solved one thing called latency.
Right.
That was a problem with I've worn many one of these helmets going back 20 years, and that was always a problem is computers couldn't keep up. You needed a supercomputer, a mainframe, because when you move your head, it's got to respond in real time.
Exactly.
This does that.
Yep, it does that, and partially because of the low-resolution display. I mean,
it's not moving many pixels.
Right, if it's a Retina display... It won't,
I should point out, you're also not playing a game. You're in a scene. There's fire in the fireplace, and there's birds tweeting. There's people moving around.
Right.
But it's not having to render a game in real time. That would also slow it down.
Right.
So this is maybe a little bit deceptive. Go ahead, put it on. I want to watch. There's nothing to see. He looks like a nitwit. There you go. That's the other problem with this is you really can't do it with anybody's around because they could sneak up on you and tickle you.
Yeah, exactly. If you're taking... So it would really affect your gameplay. I mean, it takes a while to get used to it.
You're really vulnerable. You understand that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's kind of creepy because I'm talking into space, but...
Everybody, by the way, when we were doing this in the back room, people would sneak up, tap you on the shoulder. It kind of is this... You're a little vulnerable. You should do this in a locked room with nobody else around.
Exactly. But this is definitely what I would consider the future of...
Now, you're moving, and the reason you're moving is because you're moving the mouse.
Exactly. I'm using the mouse.
So this is another thing to understand is your head controls what you're looking at but does not move you forward or backward.
Right. I mean, I could point using my head, but then I can only turn my head so much until I can't. Yeah, so...
So can you turn around completely and
face
the other way?
I could.
Very nicely
around.
Done.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So it's a 360-degree environment. Can you look all the way up?
Yep.
Let's see what he's seeing.
That's the roof. I can
look all the way down.
Yep.
Can you see his codpiece? No. That's another game. Okay.
Okay.
That's what Joshua Topolsky did to Jimmy Fallon. What's happened here? We're now in is this the Windows 8 mode?
There we go. Yeah, that was weird. Saw a bunch of icons.
Did you get now? I think somebody in the chat room is asking. I think this is a good question. STC wants to know: nausea, any disorientation, sweating, headaches, anything like that?
So I did when I changed elevation in the demo, where you can go upstairs and downstairs. And
so when you're walking upstairs, it
right?
Queasy.
Yeah.
All right.
Your brain kind of tells you.
A lot of people
have
complained about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm really hopeful that this is going to do what. The Wii U kind of, or the Wii did to the Wiimote.
Well, interesting is these were not too expensive. We paid $275 for the prototype.
$299.
Yeah. You got yours assembled.
Yeah.
So did I. Actually, I pledged $300.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have yours. I'm supposed to get Doom 3.
Oh.
With mine.
Yeah.
But it hasn't come yet.
Yeah. So Doom 3, they weren't able to get it out in time.
Okay. All right, let me try it now. Because I'm not wearing my glasses, so I should be able to see this a little bit better. You can see that. Well, that's one of the advantages of this. Everybody's going to want to try it in your house.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've seen the videos with grandmas using it and being amazed and so forth. I should bring my mom over. Yeah, see, when I'm wearing my contacts, it's a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? It's a great demo. When there's real games to play, it should be fun. Have you played Team Fortress on it?
I played a little bit last night and this morning.
How was the play like? I mean, did it feel like you were in a more immersive environment?
It is. It's definitely a better gaming experience.
Okay.
So, and it's currently for a PC at the moment, but they're expecting it to be sort of on every single platform.
The other thing Burke's asking, is it heavy? It's very light.
Yeah, it's only 90 grams.
Yeah.
So it's not too
That's about,
heavy
what, 5 ounces?
Yeah.
If I remember from my cocaine dealer days.
I don't remember.
So that's not bad.
Yeah.
I think it is it's an impressive technology demonstration.
Exactly.
$300 is, that's low enough that people might buy it as a gaming accessory.
Yeah.
I have to say, when I have a big display in front of me, which, by the way, costs a lot more than $300,
right.
It's virtually as immersive. I feel like, especially if I turn the lights off, have good surround sound, and I'm fairly close to the display, it's a similar experience.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Or you have multiple displays. But that's a lot more expensive. And this, it is cool when you turn your head, somebody's shooting at you, and you look over there and you see him. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and there's other peripherals coming out. There's a Omni treadmill thing on Kickstarter.
What's that?
So you're going to be able to control all your movement using this.
That's going to be a little more expensive. So now you're going to have a device on you so that you can walk.
You're running on the treadmill. I think it's $1,000.
If I could lose some weight, that might be a good thing.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth trying if you know anybody who has one at the moment. I think the technology would definitely be cheaper in the future, maybe second generation, then that would be a buy.
And they definitely have to upgrade the resolution.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you can see the pixels, and so you just don't feel like you're in an immersive world. It doesn't look as good as what you're seeing on the screen right now. There's the treadmill.
There you go.
That's crazy talk.
Lose some weight.
It would be fun. By the way, in the SDK, they have support for both Unity and Unreal Engine, which is good news because a great many games are written with those engines.
Exactly.
Thank you, Tony Wang, editor in chief. Are you glad you bought it?
I am. Yeah.
Really? Because what are you going to do now?
I mean, I always wanted a Virtual Boy. So
yeah, but what are you going to do now?
Now I'm going to wait for developers.
There's no guarantee if you get the prototype that it's going to work. You understand with any of the commercial stuff?
Yeah, I know. I have to write some games.
You have to write your own games.
Yeah.
It's the joy of being a Kickstarter supporter.
Exactly.
There you go. I don't know where mine is. I ordered
it
too. It's coming. They're fulfilling them in order of who ordered them.
Yeah.
So you were early in, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. We got another review for you. We got a ton of stuff. This is Sarah Lane. We had a ton of cases. So she's going to do a roundup. She's, of course, the host of iPad Today. She knows everything about the iPad. She's really into the iPad. So we're going to do a roundup of iPad cases for you. Take it away, Sarah Lane.
Hey, everybody. Sarah Lane here from Twit with some iPad case reviews. Shannon Morse, the producer of Before You Buy, came to me and said, but you're the iPad queen. You've got to do this. And I said, but I like my smart covers so much. I'm the worst person to review cases because I don't want to be that creative. But She said, please, please, please. And I said, okay, fine. This is my iPad third gen. I still don't have the fourth gen. The third gen is enough for me. I've used the smart cover since smart covers were introduced. So it's got some wear and tear, and I've been really happy with it. You know, I guess I fear change or something. And this looks like an old book. The book is, get ready, hold on to your hats, $79.99, $80. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not that worried about anybody robbing my bookcase, and this isn't cool enough of an iPad case to make it $80. Don't buy. It's too expensive. It's cute if you're really into, like, I don't know, magic bookcases or something like that. Give it a go, but I would say book, don't buy. It's too expensive. The book, I also say, and again, this is $50. It's $49.95. Don't buy. Unless, of course, I've got a lot of caveats here, but if you're a notepad person, maybe this is for you. Otherwise, I just don't think, I think it's kind of going backwards rather than forwards as far as technology goes. The Zugu, I say buy. I like this guy. It's a little bit bulky when your iPad's on the inside, but these magnets, when it's in stand mode, are really substantial and it actually feels, it's the opposite of flimsy. I'm into this. So the Zugu's a buy at $60, $59.99. And then, of course, for our iPad mini cases, I like the spec candy shell grip for the iPad mini. It's $44.95 a lot. It just feels good and there's not much to it and it fits like a glove and That's sort of what I like in a case, right? Especially if you're concerned about the back of your iPad mini. So that's a good one. The spec Fitfolio for the iPad mini feels a little flimsy to me. I think that because there are so many more cases for a full-size iPad than there are for the little iPad mini here, and you're really hurting for something that works both as a case and a stand, try it. So this is my only try. It's $35, so it's not terribly expensive. It's a little flimsy for me, but it might be what you're looking for. Hopefully, between all of these guys, we got three big size iPad cases and stands that would work for really any of the iPads, besides probably the first gen because it'll be too thick. And we've got a couple iPad mini stand/cases as well. That was a lot of stuff. Shannon, I hope I did you proud. iPad lady signing off here. Sarah Lane for Before You Buy with a few don't buys, one buy, and one try.
That is a new world record for most refused in 1 minute. She did like that Zugu. It looked pretty good. There are some new cases. Logitech's going to have a keyboard case that uses the same kind of keyboard you see on Microsoft Surface, the touch keyboard. I'm interested in that. They just announced that today. I am still waiting for a better case for the iPad mini. I think one thing that I bet you Sarah and I would agree on, Apple's own smart case, two thumbs down. It does nothing. It falls off, and especially on the mini, talk about the opposite of sturdy. It's flimsy. Now, look at this. Look at this. My favorite Robert Ballister is here. Father Robert, of course, is the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech. He joins us an awful lot. We're seeing more and more of you, and I'm liking that.
Yeah,
working on some new shows with Robert. We have been fans of the Logitech webcams for a long time. They really, going back to the Orb, really created the best webcams for use with Skype or any other video product. We currently recommend the Logitech C910, which is now outdated, and the C920. We like the 910 a little bit better. Those are really great cameras, give you an HD look. But this is not that. This is one designed for doing what we do, which is broadcasting. Tell me a little bit about the Logitech Broadcaster.
Right. So this is designed to be a studio in a box. It's for those people who maybe want to be on the go. They just want to be able to push one button and instantly be streaming to a service. In this case, Ustream.
So it's wireless.
It's wireless. That's completely cool. Wireless.
Let's take a look.
The Logitech Broadcaster is a self-contained wireless Ustream-compatible camera that can also double as a webcam for your Mac, iPad, and iPhone. The camera features a 720p sensor, 2.4 GHz 802.11bg Wi-Fi, integrated H.264 encoding, and an estimated battery life of 2 hours. The broadcaster is suspended within a carrying case that protects it from damage. A friction seal holds the cap in place on a case that doubles as a stand. Logitech created either an ingenious or fully frustrating mounting system for the broadcaster, depending on how much stick you expect from your cameras. The top of the container has a ball-shaped indent that matches the ball-shaped protrusion on the broadcaster. Magnets hold the camera to the lid. Kinda. For those who want more positioning than the storage case slash stand can provide, there's also a standard tripod mount on the bottom of the lid, though no option to bypass the magnets. The back of the broadcaster has a power button, a micro USB charging port, and a 3.5mm jack for connecting external microphones or audio sources. The left side of the broadcaster has a mode button and a light button that activates a bright LED with a range of 3 to 6 feet. The top of the unit is dominated by a multifunction setup slash broadcast button and two sets of green LED lights, one that indicates Wi-Fi connectivity and the other which indicates battery charge. Using the broadcaster is simple. I charged the unit with the included power adapter and USB cable in about 2 hours. Setup was a matter of loading the client on a compatible device that is connected to your Wi-Fi network of choice. The application will generate a QR code that the broadcaster uses to add the wireless network's SSID and encryption password. Once the Wi-Fi indicator light turns solid and the broadcast button glows green, your broadcaster is connected. The broadcaster has two modes. In the first, the unit acts as a Wi-Fi camera for your OS X or iOS device. The broadcaster will work with QuickTime, Photo Booth, iMovie, Final Cut Pro, FaceTime, iChat, Skype, and anything else that requires webcam functionality. The second mode allows you to stream video directly to your Ustream account from the broadcaster. Once your account information is entered into your application of choice, the broadcaster will start a Ustream session simply by pressing the big Broadcast button at the top of the unit. In my test, I found the broadcaster to fill a unique niche in the streaming video spectrum. Sure, you could use it as a webcam on your OS X or iOS device, but its real strength lies in its ability to kick off a Ustream without a tethered computer. The addition of an audio import further increases the utility of the broadcaster in situations that require pure, raw streaming. Unfortunately, there are two glaring problems with the broadcaster. The first is that it doesn't work with non-Apple products at all. The second problem is that the 720p video is possible, but you need a constant 2 megabits per second or better to get the best picture quality. Unfortunately, the broadcaster only operates in the crowded 2.4 gigahertz spectrum, and it uses a relatively low-powered Wi-Fi radio that is limited to less than 50 feet of range. You can't use the unit as a USB camera, so you're really at the mercy of your Wi-Fi environment. Still, the Logitech camera is a cool device for Apple users that may just satisfy your broadcaster itch.
That is a really interesting niche for Logitech to move into. And frankly, I kind of like it. I mean, I could see the idea if you're somebody, well, like our host at This Week in YouTube, Lamar Wilson, mm-hmm. who wants to do a stream from somewhere, but he does need Wi-Fi. That is a limitation for us because, frankly, when we go to conferences, 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi is not going to be very reliable. Mm-hmm. I like the stand, the magnet in here. I mean, this is very simple. Push one button, press. And I got to tell you, if you're streaming via Wi-Fi from any camera, you're going to see all that macro blocking anyway. It's got to compress the heck out of it.
Exactly.
So I'm not surprised to see that quality. If you sit still, it probably starts to look better. Well, let's get your pros and cons.
Well, on the pros, I love the design. Everything from the way the camera's created to the fact that it fits in its own stand, which is kind of cool. I mean, it's forward thinking. I also like the fact that it's got decent quality optics. I mean, if you get a strong Wi-Fi signal, it does look crystal clear. I also like the fact that they did things like including an audio jack because they understand that a lot of people are going to want to put...
I'm going to move your mic out a little bit here. Go, keep talking.
I also understand that people are going to want to put in an external audio source.
I love that because you want a good microphone. Right. You know me. I don't want to hear a microphone that's over there on the camera. I want to have a mic right on me.
Which means that if you were in a decent Wi-Fi area, you could have someone just having this camera following you,
with a stick mic.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
And I also really like the fact that it directs streams to Ustream. I mean, they make it easy. You push this button, you're good to go.
You have to have a Ustream account, of course.
Correct.
And you tie it to your Ustream account somehow before you use it.
Right, right. Okay. The setup process is really simple. You create a little QR code, and you just scan the QR
code.
That's
hysterical.
Boom. Settings.
Brilliant.
It's brilliant. It is a brilliant device.
Yeah.
On the con side, the number one thing has to be it's Mac only. So OS X and iOS.
So if you had an iPhone or an iPad, you could use that to stream, or a Mac, but not a Windows device.
No Windows, no Android.
Okay.
And in fact, there's nothing on the horizon. Logitech hasn't said that they're going to develop a client for the other.
You'd think they'd do an Android version at least.
Yeah. And the big one has to be the fact that it's only 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi, and it's weak 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi. Maximum range on this, if there's nothing between you and the access point, is 50 feet. So you start wandering to the edge of that range, and that's when your throughput really goes down. Also, 2.4, like in this studio right now, it would be obliterated.
Right.
Or a conference, it would be obliterated.
Right.
That's also a downer because there's no way to directly connect this to your laptop.
Well, I'm puzzled. Why do I even need the iPhone or the Macintosh? Is this going straight to the access point?
Straight to the access point. It's not tethered to anything.
So what is the Apple doing in there?
Well, it gives you like the monitor, so you can actually see it's doing.
Could you use it without that?
Absolutely. So if you knew that your access point was working, if you saw that you had three dots,
or you could load on your Windows machine your Ustream channel, press go and see it.
Right.
You're okay.
Right.
So you don't have to have a Mac device. That's only for the monitor.
Only for the monitor.
Got
yes.
it. Got it. So there's pros, there's cons.
There's pros, cons. I'd say if you're not part of the Apple world, it's a don't buy. That's a no-brainer. But if you do have a MacBook, an iPod, an iPad, an iPhone, yeah, this is unique enough where you should go buy it.
$200.
$200.
Logitech Broadcaster Wi-Fi webcam. I got to say, if you don't have to have a Mac to use it, maybe you don't. I mean, maybe it's okay for somebody who's not in the Mac.
If you're just vlogging, you do that one-time setup, and now you just
you need a Mac to do the one-time
just
setup?
Just do the one-time setup.
Okay, so you do at least need to borrow somebody's right. Mac to do the QR code and the one-time setup. Thank you, Father Robert Ballister. Yes, he is a real priest. Somebody said, "What's the deal? Is
that my shtick?"
Yeah, it's a shtick. His shtick is he's in the Society of Jesuits, and we're so glad to have you in our society here. Thank you, Robert. Watch him every Monday, 12 noon. Watch him like a hawk. 3 p.m. That's Pacific. 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC for this week in enterprise tech. If you're interested. In enterprise tech. Thank you, Robert. You stay there. I'm going to cross over here. We've got a couple of laptop reviews, and then I'm going to review the hotly anticipated HTC One phone, which I think is, well, you'll just have to wait and watch my review. But first, I want to talk about something you know I like, and that's stamps.com. If you do a lot of mailing, if you're a pro mailer, as we are here, you're going to want to check out stamps.com. It's a way to do your mailing without having to go to the post office. That means no postage meter. That means no special ink. That means no parking, no finding a space, no going into the post office. Everything you do in your mailing life can be done from your desk, even mailing the packages because the mail carrier comes to you. You can schedule free pickups anytime. Stamps.com is a really great service for companies that send out invoices, marketing information. If you're doing fulfillment, maybe you have an Etsy store and an eBay store, Amazon, PayPal. It's so great. For one thing, Stamps.com pulls the address of the recipient from your site, from your address book, from your QuickBooks, wherever you have it stored. It'll print right onto envelopes, including your return address, your company logo, and, of course, the postage. But you can also print postage for any class of mail, from media mail to international, domestic, priority, express mail. You even get discounts on priority and express that you just can't get at the post office. Stamps.com is a great deal, and I've got a great way for you to try it. A no-risk trial offer that includes a USB scale and some free postage. Now, don't click that front page $80 offer. I could do better than that. Click that microphone in the upper right-hand corner at Stamps.com. Enter our offer code before you buy. One word, before you buy, and that $80 special offer turns into a $110 special offer, including $55 in free postage for you to use over the first few months of your Stamps.com account. You get that USB scale, so you always have exactly the right postage. You also get a supply kit and a four-week trial of Stamps.com. Hey, what is it going to cost you? Try it for 4 weeks. See what you think. I guarantee you it will transform your business. Stamps.com. All right, we're going to move on now, and we're going to get some reviews in here. Who should I start with? Did you wrist wrestle? Did you flip a coin?
Yeah, we flipped a coin.
Yeah, all right. So we're going to have Russell Tammany from Exponentia Systems. Russell is a great consulting engineer, a real expert, and he's brought a Windows 8 tablet.
Yeah, so this is the Dell Latitude 10, and this is in the Essentials configuration. So Dell is offering a bunch of different Latitude 10 tablets. And this is the Essentials, which starts at $499.
Windows 8 Pro.
This is Windows 8, and you can get Windows 8 Pro for about $25 extra.
But it's not the tablet RT. It's the full
Windows
8.
It's the full version, so you either get the regular Windows 8 or Windows 8 Pro as a configurable option.
Okay.
This is the Essentials tablet again, and so...
What's the resolution? It's not one of those 1360, but...
It is. It's a 1366 by 768.
Oh.
It is an IPS screen.
Does that bother you, the low res?
It bothers me... if I wanted it as a personal kind of media device,
right.
But for a business device, I think it's actually the right resolution.
Okay.
I've had issues with the Surface Pro.
Too high.
It's high resolution,
yeah.
You know, trying to run older line of business apps, point of sale apps, and things that, you know, were meant for Windows 7 and before. So, you know,
and
this
Microsoft ClearType means text looks very good on there.
Right. The text still looks good. The IPS screen gives it good resolution, good actual color quality.
Pretty snappy?
It's pretty snappy.
What's in there? Is i5?
This is an Atom. So,
okay. That's all the as you said, the Essential line is a low-priced line.
The Essentials line is a low-priced one, and all of the Latitude 10s are actually Atoms. So you're starting with the same base with the 2 gigabytes of RAM. You can get 32 gig, 64, 128. But in this base model at $499, all you get is the 32 gigs. They've had a couple special configurations. This is one of them. It gives you 64 gigs at the same price as the 32.
And that's your whole storage, we should point out, right?
Right. It's your whole storage.
Can you put an SD
card? Yeah, so you do have an SD card. So I'll show you some of the ports here. The Essentials still has the SD slot. You have a power button, and you have a screen rotate lock. I prefer to use a screen rotate lock because I keep finding that tablets are, you know, you go to show somebody something and it rotates and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You've also got some volume controls and a Kensington lock port, which you can use to, you know, tie it down to a kiosk or something like that. Yeah. And then you've also got this dock connector on the bottom. So the Essentials configuration does not have the micro HDMI or an additional USB port. So everything is done through this dock connector. One thing about the Latitude 10, this is proprietary, but with the Latitude 10, it's going to be used across all of the Latitude 10 series. So if you choose the base model, if you choose the security model with the fingerprint reader, if you, you know, you can basically deck it out.
Interchange your,
they all share the same dock connector.
Yeah, that's nice.
One of the things that you also get with the full configuration is a swappable battery. So one of the things they did in the Essentials is that they sealed the battery in. So if you get anything other than the Essentials configuration, like the mobility, which has 4G through AT&T, or the security, which also has a fingerprint reader, smart card reader, all of the kind of security features that businesses may want, then you actually get to switch the battery out in the back.
But it's not $500 anymore.
But it's not $500.
How much more are you?
So you can spend anywhere from $499 to $1,199, completely decking one out and making it come with the dock accessory.
It's really interesting. We've seen extended batteries, but that's the first time I can remember a tablet with a removable battery, kind of like a smartphone.
Right,
where you might buy an extra battery, take it with you as you travel.
Now, on the unit that actually has the swappable battery, it's got a little panel sort of here in the
center.
The panel pops out, and then there's a battery underneath that. There's a 4-cell battery that you can pop in, and the issue is that then you've got this protrusion from the device where your 4-cell battery is, because you're not going to get the extra thickness of the battery to still fit in the slim
form. But again, that's not available on this model, the basic model.
It's not available on the basic model.
How much battery life are you getting?
With this 2-cell battery, which is the same as the stock swappable battery, I'm getting about 10 hours.
Wow, that's fine.
So it lasts plenty enough to make it through a day. And, you know, if you end up, you know, getting one of the docks, you can share it between multiple people and dock it to charge, or you can charge it over the same dock connector.
There's the Atom processor at work. That's a low power processor.
So it's a low power
processor. Does it feel sluggish?
It feels a little bit sluggish. It sort of I think it has the Intel GMA graphics. It doesn't have Intel HD graphics. I wouldn't recommend it for any kind of real media or, you know, photos, things like that.
It's a business tablet, though,
It's designed as a business tablet, and it's one of the first business tablets that I've seen where they started a really low price, configurable to add any option that you might want, and it still shares all of the accessories and ports.
Well, that is the same price as the Wi-Fi iPad.
Right.
It is comparable many ways. I mean, that's the response to it. It's thicker, it's heavier, but 10-hour battery life.
You've got
full Windows, not a tablet operating system.
So. Right, and so with the full Windows on it, you know, we see a lot of opportunities to, you know, use it for a point-of-sale device, use it for salespeople to use as their full-time computer and pick up and walk around.
If you have line-of-business apps that are on Windows that you need to use, that would be a good choice. On the other hand, if you're just using Office, an RT tablet will probably be a better deal because it includes Office. This does not, right?
Right. This does not include Office, as with any of the non-RTs. However, I sort of feel that this is really what the RT should be.
Right.
The RT really should be Atom, and they should still give you Office with it. But
I agree.
You know, making that division is sort
confusing.
Of confusing, and it's an issue. You know, what's going to run? How's it going to run?
Well, let's get your pros and cons. This is the Dell Essential Win 8 tablet.
Right. So the pros are that it has great price, $499 starting. Is pretty much one of the lowest prices. You can look at some of the Acer Atom tablets and get the same price. This also includes the 1-year Next Business Day on-site business support from Dell. You get great battery life, the 10 hours. It's got a really solid build quality. It feels nice. It's got a kind of anti-slip coating on the back. The bezel's a little large, but you can actually hold it with both hands and not touch anything on the screen, which I still appreciate. The cons are that it's got slow performance due to the Atom CPU. And the Essentials trim is missing the pen capabilities. One of the Dell Latitude 10s that's above the Essentials, you get a Wacom tablet and a pen with it. So you lose out on that in the lowest price.
You mean it's got a Wacom digitizer on.
Right.
You don't get a separate tablet, but it's on the screen. Yeah.
Correct.
And you get a pen. So if that's important, I guess.
So if that's important. And right. You know, it's one of those things where I see this being $499, coming with full Windows 8. And
that's a pretty
good
deal.
At the higher end ones and you're like, you know, is this really worth $749 to deck it out and have a pen and have, you know, all these other things and still have an Atom tablet? So
yeah, right. At that point, you might start looking at an i5.
Right. So I'm going to give it a buy based on the price and you know what it can do and how flexible it sort of is. And if you do feel that you want those extra features and want to pay for them, they're there. So,
can you get a keyboard, a touch style keyboard along with it?
You can get a keyboard with it. It's I think a third party keyboard that Dell is selling. It's Bluetooth, which means you have to charge it separately.
And it's not attached.
It's not attached.
So it's just a standalone.
They have some survivor cases that give it waterproofing and kind of ruggedized stuff.
But this is really a tablet.
It's really a tablet, designed with the kind of dock connector to share with multiple users.
Just out of curiosity, in your work, you work with a lot of businesses, many businesses, hundreds of businesses.
Yes.
Are you seeing adoption of Windows 8, and particular Windows 8 tablets?
No, we're not really seeing that at all. So
a piece of hardware looking for a market.
Right, it's a piece of hardware looking for a market, but one of the reasons that I ended up with so many Windows 8 tablets is that I've been kind of evaluating them for customers and for specific purposes. And it was actually the Dell Latitude 10 that I finally got in late after getting everything else in that the end users ended up liking.
Interesting.
It ran their point of sale line of business kind of like rental management software.
It'd be great for that.
And it wasn't
if you're
super
a realtor
heavy,
in the field and you wanted something, you could,
You know, people picked up the Surface Pro and went, oh, God, this thing is like
so it's
really
lighter
heavy
than the Pro.
And it's really expensive. Yeah. And
$499.
You know, $499. And then, you know, it's just a tool now.
Right. And it's a good choice for somebody who wants an iPad but needs to run Windows software. That's the choice there. The Dell Latitude 10 Essentials, $499. Thank you. Russell Tammany from Exponentious Systems.
Thank you.
Does a great job for us. And he's been traveling. You've been a traveling fool. You've
been
all over the place. Japan, Vegas.
3 weeks ago, NAB 10 weeks ago, out in the Utah backcountry a week ago. Been all over.
I follow you on Facebook, and all I see is plane airports and lounges. Thank you, Russell. Now let's go, and we're going to look at another Windows tablet from Alex Gumpel, the Flowmaster.
So this is the Lenovo ThinkPad Tablet 2, which is basically the same as that, but it's Lenovo's take on it.
It's a competitor for the same space.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So it doesn't come with this nice case, but it's an optional accessory for $40, but it's just
I like
nice,
the case.
Nice
looks like a purse.
Case that
very handy.
It's a manly purse.
Manly purse.
So it's, you know, it's got the tablet in there, and then also it has a keyboard dock also sold separately for $120. It goes that way. It is a Bluetooth keyboard dock, so there's no physical connection. It just kind of sits in there, and you turn it on, and then it's Bluetoothed away. So there you go. But so the specs are, it's an Atom tablet, just like that one. It's just this average Atom-based Windows tablet specs. That's all around 64 gigs and whatnot. Performance is, again, about the same as that. Battery life, 8 to 10 hours. Nothing really outstanding about that in that sense. It's just your average Atom tablet. Hardware, though, is very nice. It feels like a ThinkPad.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels a little thinner and more elegant, frankly, than the Dell, but that's what you'd expect, wouldn't it? Isn't it? Is it also 1366 by 768?
It is. Yeah, it's just average all the way around.
I see one thing on it, though, that the Dell does not have. I see a stylus on it.
Yes, so one thing this does have is...
And by the way, a better place for the stylus than the Surface Pro, which just kind of glues the stylus magnetically onto the side.
Nice little slot.
At least you've got a holder there. Yeah.
That's,
thank goodness.
Yeah, so, and it's got an actual Wacom digitizer in it. I think there used to be a SKU that didn't have a stylus, and therefore didn't have the digitizer, but I think they dropped that one, so now they all have it.
That would have been the... low price $499 one. This is not $499.
Not quite that low, but
this is $750.
Right, but it's a nice. And Sketchbook is doing its thing.
That's because you pulled the pen out.
It's got the pressure sensitivity.
Oh, you
so
want to
you
draw
can,
stick figures?
You can, kinda, you know, you can lightly draw.
Does Microsoft Bob say, "I see you're drawing stick figures. Would you like some
lightly
help?
Draw or go really heavy?" So
I like
got,
that.
It's got the pressure sensitivity, so it's great in that sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything else is what you would expect from a stylus. So the keyboard dock, though, because it's Bluetooth, like he said with his dock, is it doesn't have a physical connection, so you need to charge it separately. So it, the Bluetooth or the keyboard dock comes with its own USB cable, so you get this kind of weird mess of cables where you have your wall charger plugging into the tablet, and then you have the tablet going into this, and it just creates this mess, and you have to wait for that to charge. The tablet can only charge with micro USB, so that takes forever for it to charge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just hours for it to get up to fully charged. It's got the trickle charging.
Right.
The keyboard dock has no trackpad. It's only got the nub, except it's not your regular ThinkPad nub, which is more like a little joystick. This is an optical thing, so it's kind of like a trackball in that sense, how it works.
This. Oh, that's horrible.
I actually like it. But
you do like it?
I do.
That's an important point. So. There is no trackpad. So if that's – but now, of course, you also have the full touch and probably – I mean, these are designed to be used as touch devices.
If I'm mousing around a little bit while on desktop, that's not fine. But normally, if I'm not in the desktop, I'm swiping around.
Okay, so that's not so bad.
Right. Because of the way that the dock works, you can't adjust the angle of it. So it's got the same problem as the Surface, where it's a little bit too steep, and you just can't adjust it.
Yeah.
You can live with that.
You don't have to get this dock.
It's an optional accessory. Yeah, they do make an enterprise dock that does not have a keyboard. It's just a dock that's actually got a physical dock connector, and that where you plug your desktop keyboard and mouse.
You put that on your desk when you get to work,
and then you put this in there and you work on it. And then if you want to work on a 10-inch screen, and then you just pop it off and run around with it. Let's see. So the biggest problem about this is it's expensive. So his was under $500. This one is $749.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's way too expensive for an ARM-based tablet. Or not ARM-based, excuse me, Atom-based.
Yeah.
That should be more of a low-end i3, i5 tablet.
Right.
Except this does have benefits over that one in that if this was an i5 tablet, you wouldn't get as good battery life.
Right.
And it'd be heavier and bulkier like the problems that the Surface Pro has. So that there is benefits to having the Atom-based because you can still run the desktop and your old apps and basically everything that Russell said. That's a big benefit for that.
Right.
So pros are it's solid and lightweight. It's like 1.3 pounds, I think, and it just feels really solid, and it's got that ThinkPad goodness to it and its design, and it's got the pen support. It's a big plus, I think, if you happen to like handwriting. And it's running full Windows 8 as opposed to Windows RT, which can't run the desktop stuff. Cons, though, the keyboard, even though it is an optional, I'm including this in a con, that it's Bluetooth only, and that kind of does make it a little herky-jerky, and it's an extra thing to carry around, although if you have the nice leather carrying case, that kind of helps that a little bit. And then the other kind of said it's just expensive, like I said.
Right. Well, try, buy, buy?
I still think it's a buy because even though it is expensive, it is the nicest Atom tablet that I've played
You
with.
Prefer it to the... Did you play with the Latitude?
I held it a little bit and there's no thumbs around.
It's clunkier.
I've had the Acer a couple months ago and some other stuff. And this one I like best. And it has the stylus.
Right.
So,
but you use a Surface Pro. Will you stay with the Surface Pro?
I don't use Surface Pro.
You don't?
I have an RT.
You use the RT.
I don't have a need for the Surface Pro to justify the cost.
You use a desktop Windows 8 machine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I like a full laptop with a keyboard.
Sure. Who doesn't?
But as a companion device, this would be really nice.
Alex Gumpel is the Flowmaster. And
you keep calling me that, but
you made that
up. It wasn't
up.
My thing. It was John who made that up.
Oh,
I'll never
really?
Forgive him for it.
You're kidding. You don't like that?
It's
what would you like me to call
I
you?
Run with it.
Now you tell us?
Yeah, I know. So there you go.
He's cranky today. all right. I'll call you just Alex Gumpel, studio engineer.
Sure.
Extraordinaire.
Yeah, that's.
Thank you, sir.
That makes even less sense.
let me ask both of you. We're waiting for an Intel chipset update to the Haswell and the Cloverfield, both of which are going to give better power capabilities, perhaps better performance in the case of Haswell.
I think that's really what
should
this
you
segment,
wait.
I think you should wait. If you don't have an absolute need for one of these type of tablets, you really should wait.
It's going to get better this fall.
It's going to get better. You really don't want the i5 in a tablet until they can get it under in battery power and not hot, no vents, make it thin. It's still sort of like a market that is waiting for upgrades in this kind of Atom class.
So Clover Trail is going to be their kind of ARM competitor, a low power but low performance chip. Haswell will be better performance, but also a better power curve.
Right. I mean, because you're looking for actually having some kind of media capabilities. And so one of the biggest issues you have with the Apple tablets is you can't watch Netflix in HD. You can't play any kind of games.
Really? Netflix won't perform well on that.
It does not perform well on Apple tablets. That's disappointing. You know, anything else that's going on in the background will cause it to stutter. It's just not intended for that. So I think if, you know, we get some more powerful Atom-based devices that are still in the form factors and kind of the Windows 8 Touch apps flesh out a little bit more, and there's a killer app where, you know, I have to have Lightroom for Windows 8 Touch that works with my, you know, Canon DSLR and becomes the power device that I can take just it on the road. And right now,
you're like Alex, you're still using a desktop because you want that desktop.
Right now, I'm using a desktop and a high-end i7 laptop.
Right,
and,
me too.
You know, it's like, do I want to carry an i7 laptop and a tablet on vacation?
Right,
not really. So,
well, it's an interesting market, and what my sense is all the manufacturers are trying stuff. They're not really sure what people are going to want, what's going to work. We're in early days yet. If you can wait, you probably should wait and at least see what these Clover Trail and Haswell laptops do. Clover Trail soon.
I haven't heard when. I know it's soon. It seems like everything that's been out now is
Clover Trail is what these are.
Those are Clover Trail. I'm sorry. So these are Clover Trail.
These are Clover Trail.
That's the Atom.
This is the 1.8.
So forget it. We're waiting for Haswell.
Yes.
Yeah, Haswell's the next one.
So now we know. Okay. So that's why you're getting 10 hours, but you're also getting lower performance. Right. I'm sorry. I didn't realize we'd already come out. So yeah, the Haswell chips are supposedly coming out very soon. Super low power chips later. All right, thank you, guys. I want to show you my hot little phone here. And I do mean hot, by the way. I don't know.
You got two of them.
Well, I'll tell you why I got two of them. There's a good reason for it. This is the HTC One. These are both AT&T, although, of course, you can get unlocked European versions. You can get them on Sprint, AT&T. I think Verizon's going to have it, T-Mobile. This is the hot, you know, new Android device. And, boy, from a point of view of style and design, it is truly an iPhone 5 competitor. Unibody aluminum that just feels great in your hand. It looks great. It's a 4.7-inch screen. And like the Galaxy S4, this is going to be the new standard, I think. It is 1080 by 1920. This is a super high-res screen. And because it's so high-res, you can see it looks gorgeous, just rock solid. Let me unlock it so it stops timing out on us. It's rock solid. It just feels great. The reason I have two is... this is mine. I bought this one, got it last week, and I've been really struggling with the batteries. Yesterday, using it somewhat normally, I only got to about 2 o'clock before I had to charge it. Taking it off the power at 7 a.m. and charging it intermittently in between, and I still only got to 2 o'clock. So this is the Loner from AT&T, and we're going to play with this a little bit. I've already noticed that battery-wise, this is doing a little bit better. I have some theories, though. In both cases, the battery leaves a lot to be desired. And you know, and I think, Russell, you'll agree with me, when you feel a phone get pretty hot, that's always a sign that it's probably not very efficiently using its processors, or there's maybe too much processor in here. This is a quad-core 1.7 gigahertz processor. It's pretty impressive, the Snapdragon 600. It is an LTE device. And the screen, I just got to continue to rave about the screen. This is HTC Sense 5. And while I'm not a big fan of HTC Sense, this is the best Sense yet. They flattened it somewhat. This is the Blink preview where it gives you a kind of a flipboard-style information on the front page. If I scroll over, it's a little bit more like a traditional Android with the app grid and all of that. And we can, you know, add more frames to it. I immediately, by the way, on my phone, put the Nova launcher on here. I just wasn't crazy about the HTC Sense launcher. But that's one of the nice things about Android. It's easy to put even Facebook Home on here, should you so desire it. You can see Sense has changed even the Android settings. In fact, they've taken out some settings that I really would like to have still. For instance, I'm very curious how much of this power consumption is screen time. HTC has elected to no longer show you how much screen time is using of the battery. And since that's probably about 80% of the battery use on this phone, this is not as helpful as it might be. But it is worth it. And this is maybe one of the reasons the battery keeps dying on me. I keep playing with the phone. You've probably seen that effect on a new phone where it's just really beautiful and there's great apps and you really want to try it out. You use it a lot more initially, and so the battery dies a lot faster. Despite the battery life issues, you have to be pretty careful about turning off radios when you're not using them, charging it whenever you can. This is still a spectacular phone. Here are some of the things you're really going to like. I don't know why no one's done this before. Front-facing stereo speakers. They sound great. They also did something a little bit odd. You notice the buttons are not the traditional Android buttons. These are capacitive, not physical. The HTC, which would normally be the home button on a Galaxy phone, does nothing. There is a home button, but it's over to the right. There's a back button. It's over to the left. To get the recent apps, you have to double tap the home button. You get used to that. It didn't take me too long to get used to that, but it is a little bit kind of non-standard in the Android world. A great 2-megapixel front-facing camera. And here's the other thing that they did that people are, it's somewhat controversial, although very interesting. This camera is a, back camera is a 4-megapixel camera. That means that they can make the dots on the sensor 2 microns. That's, in some cases, 4 or 5 times larger than the dots on some of these high megapixels phones. That means you're going to get better low-light performance. And in fact, I found it was a pretty good-looking camera. HTC does over-sharpen a little bit, but you can turn that down. The camera application is quite sophisticated. There are a lot of settings. There's, of course, a broad range of scene settings, including one I was playing with, a monochrome setting that I really like. There's also a night setting, a macro setting, text setting, so you can scan in documents, a fairly good HDR. The panorama setting that we've become used to, they have a nice leveler in here so that you can keep it pretty level. They've done a pretty good job in this camera. I think the app is fantastic. So, pros and cons on this. The pros, of course, are the look and feel. This is a beautiful piece of hardware, a phone that rivals in every respect the iPhone and iPhone 5. It is easily the nicest hardware for an Android device I've ever seen. By the way, they've solved the metal battery issue. Rather, antenna issue. This is a metal back with little plastic trim here that the antenna can go through. And NFC works on it as well. You can tap something to it, and the NFC works. I suspect the NFC chip is ported somewhere through, because, as you know, it doesn't go through plastic. Or go through metal. It has to go through plastic. Really, really brilliant design. Best screen I've ever used on a phone. Galaxy S4 will have a very similar screen, so we'll have to see it. Galaxy S4s will be OLED. Super AMOLED. This is an IPS screen. If you like the color rendition on IPS better, you might prefer this. I think it's absolutely the best screen I've ever used, and probably will be so for some time. Other pros, I'm very intrigued by the camera and the camera features and the functionality. I've been very happy with the images I've been getting. Yes, it's not super high pixel density, but I think I can live with that, and I do love the low light and the Zoe feature. It just really is fun to play with. Have these little mini movies is just so much fun. Cons, though, battery life is bad. Now, I've looked at a lot of reviews, and most reviewers say the battery life is average. Most people I've talked to said they're getting a full day, maybe 8 to 10 hours on their battery. So I suspect it has a little bit to do with the wireless situation in this small town. So your mileage will vary, but it's something to be aware of, particularly on a phone like this where you do want to use it a lot. And because this is not a replaceable battery, that's another con, you're going to be stuck with the battery life that you've got. And if you can't charge it, you're out of luck. I actually went out and bought an extra little battery reservoir that I can plug into it because, I know I'm not going to get through a full day with this thing. The other negative, it does not support SD card. You have to buy either 32 or 64 gigs. I don't find that to be a real negative. That's similar to the iPhone. You choose the amount of memory you want. I've had problems with micro SD cards on Android devices. You can't move applications in many cases to them. It's usually just for data. Sometimes it's not well seen. So I think having it as part of the main storage is fine. But you're going to pay a little extra to get that 64 gigs if you need a lot of storage on this. It's definitely a buy. If you can live with the battery life issues, I can't imagine you being unhappy with this phone. It is an amazing phone. The sound quality, by the way, I guess I should review the phone capability, is very good. It's an excellent phone. Works very well. I haven't had any antenna attrition issues, which is interesting given the metal case. None of the problems that the iPhone 4 had. And as you can see, you can put another launcher on here, and you're not stuck with too much HTC sense, except in some of the settings dialogues and things like that. Thank you all for being here. We do this show every Wednesday or Tuesday afternoon. I'm here Wednesday, too, so I don't know. We do it every Tuesday afternoon, around about 3, 4 p.m. Pacific time. That's 6 or 7 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC. Do stop in if you can watch live. We appreciate it. It's fun. It's a little different to watch the live show than the final produced version. We make that available, the produced version, in audio and video at twit.tv/BYB. And also on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. In fact, the longer versions of some of these reviews will always be available on the YouTube channel. So if you want to see the full review, you can do it there. You can email Shannon make some suggestions, ask for something you'd like to review, reviewed by us, byb@twit.tv. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. And remember, you got to watch before you buy. Take care.